Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, hello and welcome to another classic episode of the A Winner Is You podcast. If this is your first time listening, think of us as your friendly neighbourhood video game book club. We pick a game, then scurry off, play it before coming back together to have a deep dive discussion and talk ins, outs, ups, downs, and hopefully offer some light entertainment along the way. Whether you've played the game alongside us in anticipation of the podcast, or whether you've played the game before, or even if the game is nestled comfortably in your pile of shame, there will be something here for you, so be rest assured that we have you covered. This week, we have a game that feels a little different from the usual games, I would say, that we play around here in this here part. It's an, an interesting game from 2003, described by Google as an open-world action-adventure game that goes by the name of The Simpsons Hit and Run. Well, that sinks in, and so you can get your ears accustomed to our dulcet tones, my name is Ever. It's David, and sitting 78 miles across from me is my boulder to my Bronson, Mr. Alex Aldridge. How are you today, mate? Firing on all cylinders? You're certainly firing in some directions.
Dull. Yes. Yeah, I am. So if I don't seem as jovial as usual, dear listener, it's because I've shit my guts up for the last several hours. Resulting at one point in that I'd done what I would describe as probably a precursor to the end of times. Right before the end of my shift at work, I was thinking maybe I could still get to the gym, but I probably shouldn't go because that normally fucks my guts up anyway. Running around, yeah, it does not do me, you know, many favors. But then after I had clocked out, I just thought, no, it's happening again. I can't go home yet. So I thought, I don't want to go back up to the corridor where all the people I work with are because they'll hear this. So this is going to be, you know, you don't come back from this. So
no,
there's a little, like, near the server room, there's like
a sort bucket
of toilet. Yeah. there's a fire exit. There's like a toilet near the server room on like the stairway up there. And it's become my like haven of taking a nice shit, because there's lots of places in the college where like people can hear it or you don't get good Wi-Fi coverage. So this is the perfect position. Mm. It's very rarely frequented by anybody. And if it is, it's probably just going to be students and I don't care about them. And I can use my phone.
If anything, you want to be blaming the students for this Holocaust you're inflicting upon the campus.
So this got to a stage where it was like so violently quick that it came out. I thought, I will just have a check. Just to stop any anxiety, I'll just double check that this isn't like I've not just shit blood or anything.
While you're doing that, quickly texting Rach to make sure she hasn't put any cola hair down this your work toilet by any chance.
Yeah, have you been messing with this? And as I turned around to have a quick look, it just looked like rusty water with some rice in. So I
you've
guess
got the, IBS, all right?
Yeah. So I guess the chili last night probably fucked me up.
Right. Okay.
But as I was doing that, having a quick look behind me to double check, gave it a quick flush as well, because I don't want to be smelling that. I need to sit here for at least another 20 minutes, but I'll get the initial smell out of the way. I dripped leaky shit water out of my anus onto my shoe.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so I sent Rachel a picture of that.
No.
All she sent back was a crying emoji. That was it. So
can't even blame your daughter for that.
Nope. Just a little turned around and I was like, oh, I appear to have got some on the floor. Oh, and there's some on my shoe too. Great. Christ. It's only going to get worse, by the way.
So I see this is IBS, right? This isn't...
Yeah. This will be... I've eaten something that's upset me somewhere.
Right, okay. And do particular things upset your stomach or do you just get periodic flare-ups? How does this IBS work?
I've never been able to track anything directly to it happening. when I saw a doctor at one point when I had really bad stomach pain for ages, and one doctor kept being like, it's IBS, mate. It's just IBS. And I was like, no, it's not. It's worse. I eventually like forced my way into getting a colonoscopy or whatever. And I remember the gastroenterologist said something about like, oh, I assume you've like made a diary or whatever. You've done all of that stuff to see what kind of things affect you. And I was like, well, no, because I don't want to do that. Because apart from this stomach pain that I suddenly have, I don't really care about having the shits. Like, I'll just eat whatever I want. And he was like, to be fair, and this guy was Indian, I think. And he was like, well, yeah, I get you. I'm Indian. Curry gives me an upset stomach, but I'm not going to stop eating that. So what do you want to do about it? I was like, exactly.
We are where we are.
Yeah. We just live with it. So yeah, that's the end of that. But my dad's, well, he probably won't appreciate me saying this. And also, I don't fucking appreciate having to have somebody check my age to buy diarrhea tablets that I bought before this podcast to clog my ass up. Why have I got to stand there and wait for a fucking teenager to come up and be like,
you check their age.
You definitely look over 25, mate. Nice asking.
Is diarrhea, like anti-diarrhea tablets, a known
mate,
drug
all the kids
that,
are doing
the
it.
Kids these days.
Like, they mix it in with their fentanyl or whatever it is.
Was it Family Guy where they were going about licking toads? So yeah, maybe this is the... You just get some diarrhea tablets down. See how clogged you can get. And me, well,
mate,
also,
mate, I was clogged for like a week, man. It was a trip.
They've all watched that South Park episode where Stan's dad just tries to marry up the biggest shit he can.
So, yeah, is that the one where they find out that actually the world's biggest shit is Bono from U2?
Yeah.
Because they think he has the record, but then it turns out he is the record, which is amazing. speaking of South Park and shit, you remember the episode where they tried to find the brown note?
Oh, vaguely.
Where they find...
I think it was during one of our many lockdowns. I went on a South Park spree because it was also on Prime at the time. I think it's since gone to Paramount Plus. But I remember I got in an absolute like blind rage because there's one episode of one season that is just gone from that wasn't on Prime. And I was
it's
like,
14. It's not even on the DVD. It's because they got it scared.
And I was like, oh my god, this is the most of all the South like of all the shows. To get scared and censor yourself. South Park is not the one.
Well, don't forget the game.
I get the game, yeah.
We just got to look at a picture of that fucking guy, didn't we? In Europe.
Or when Chef got annoyed that they were making fun of Scientology, so they just absolutely butchered his character.
They made him out to be a paedophile.
Yeah, so like, I got so angry. I so beyond what was like... Like, what is, I don't know, what's a necessary anger about that? I just like, oh, that's a bit shit.
Yeah, like disappointment.
No,
really.
I was like so angry I couldn't think for about 3 days. Like, it was just driving me around the bend that people were censoring themselves.
I have a South Park DVD collection that stops at season 13 because I refused to pay them any more money after they got scared by that.
Quite right. Because it's so disappointing. I think I was so disappointed because I really like South Park.
Me too. Anyway, there was a point I was going to make about the South Park of shit. So the brown note episode, which is the Cartman and all that try and find the one note that you can play that makes everybody shit themselves, and then they play it like really loud and loads of people shit themselves. Have you heard Don Callis' entrance music?
No.
Oh, well, that is the brown note.
Oh, I will actually. Yeah, I will have done. Yeah. I will have done.
Because he just comes out to...
the brown note.
So me and Ash have always joked that him and Takeshita come out to the brown note from South Park. I've wanted to make that into like a, you know, a little video and send it to Matthew for Botchamania, but I'm a lazy, lazy man, Roger. That's Simpsons quote number one. Well, technically I said dull at the beginning as well.
Okay, yeah. There's not many poo jokes really in the Simpsons, unfortunately.
No, other than Bart saying, what a load of crappy crap crap, but I don't remember what that was in relation to. Who cares?
The Simpsons Hit and Run, Alex. It's a game.
Yeah, it is a game. One that people do seem to have a reverence for, me included. Although prior to this podcast, I had never finished it because in my head, the final mission, which I could now And I now actually can't tell whether it's any of the, which of the final three missions it is, because they're all exactly the same.
Yeah.
I just remembered that I had to drive all the way to one end of the Springfield, get something and drive back. And I just couldn't do it without getting a hit and run and then getting knocked out by the police and dropping the thing. I had a similar issue here again, but that's, I got like that far on my thing. I'd love to load up my memory card save. I bet I've got it somewhere and then try and do it on the GameCube again.
That would be fun. That would be really fun.
I remember always liking it, kind of in spite of the fact that it was obviously developed at a time when The Simpsons was in its zombie Simpsons phase, which has lasted about 20 years at this point. And therefore, the writers on the game were not the classic ones. They're not like John Swartzwelder or Conan O'Brien or whatever. They were, I don't know who they were. I didn't recognize any of their names. So I think what this game doesn't have in terms of humor, at least Simpsons quality humor, is a realization of the town of Springfield that is incredibly joyous to me and so full of little references and nods, and just being able to drive around the town, which you will be doing.
Oh, you will be.
Is the big selling point for this game, I think. They've done like a game on PC before it called Virtual Springfield, which was effectively like one of those late 90s CD-ROM games that was just basically you got a CD so it could play some kind of animation on a computer and you could click and it would go to a different part and you'd just watch something. You know, rivaling Encarta 97 as the early Windows users CD of choice. Did you ever have Encarta? I think it was Encarta 95, actually.
Friends did. I didn't ever myself.
My dad was a lot. He still is a bit of a techie, but he was a real techie back then. And I remember we got our PC quite early in the day. So he passed on the Amiga to me at that stage. And I used to watch this video about Maradona doing the Hand of God goal, like, over and over again on Encarta 95 on the PC.
Because it had
video. I don't know. It was it was just a video of some football. And I remember just learning about it.
There's an infamous moment of my team getting absolutely done. Let's just watch it over and over again.
Yeah. Doing over my country with flagrant cheating the year I was born. I must learn more. but yeah, this definitely is probably still like the only sort of fully Springfield-based Simpsons game where you have the entire city to explore. I know they did Road Rage before this.
So this is a sequel, is it?
No, it's more of a legal-based pivoting because having made Simpsons Road Rage, which I saw somebody make the funny point of the fact that you could swap the titles Simpsons Road Rage and Simpsons Hit and Run between the two games and it would make sense for both of them. It doesn't matter which one is called which, they're basically, it works. Because yeah, Simpsons Road Rage is basically Crazy Taxi, like cars in a much uglier and I assume smaller version of Springfield, but they actually got sued. Sega sued or filed a lawsuit against EA, Fox Interactive and Radical Entertainment, the developer, because it was so Crazy Taxi. Yeah. So then when they came to make this, they were like, all right, let's, well, they didn't actually use any of their own imagination. They just played GTA 3 and went, fuck it, let's do that one then. And did.
Yeah.
Except you don't shoot anybody.
Oh yeah.
You just mercilessly run people over who just have a go at you and say things like, how'd you like a newspaper upside your head? Which is one of the weirdest things to say in response to being run over I've ever heard. Like,
yeah.
They're not equal punishments.
They are not.
If I wanted to run a guy over and I thought my only comeuppance will be a newspaper upside my head.
He's going down.
Yeah, he's going down. Anyway, how did you enjoy it in any way?
I've been thinking a lot about how I even feel about this game because I think I can't fully decide. I sort of enjoyed it despite itself, I think would be how I would describe it. In that, like, I sort of had a nice time playing it. It is a game that I sort of, so I don't know. I don't know if this is important or not. Probably people don't care, but I don't have the reverence for The Simpsons that you clearly do. You are like next level Simpsons fan, as far as I can tell. Whereas I am a your bog standard middle of the road Simpsons fan. Mm. I'll watch the episodes if they're presented in front of me. When I was a kid, I used to watch them. I always have my tea, like I think everybody our sort of age range used to do. And I did go in a period where I was collecting the videos for a while.
Nice.
And that's it. Yeah, but yeah, I like them.
Yeah, I love it so much. At least that prime period of like season three to season eight. I don't include nine in it anymore. I've gone off that a little bit, but that is some of my favorite things ever created. In fact, and I've probably told you this before, but in my sort of early to mid 20s, when I was waking up with existential crises all the time, of this is when I was at uni, I think, as well, when I was like kind of alone sometimes at night. I would wake up and in the night and be like, I'm gonna fucking die one day. Like, I'm definitely gonna die, but probably not before people I love will die. And there's nothing I can fucking do about it. And then I'd have to be like, right, I need to change this thought process. So let's put The Simpsons on because that'll calm you down. And then I would always sit there and be like, can't watch The Simpsons when you're dead. Simpsons will carry on. Simpsons will exist forever. You fucking won't.
Yeah, there's going to be a day where you'll watch your last ever episode of The Simpsons.
There is, yeah. May have already happened.
It may have. Yeah, so, I don't know, right, like... I quite enjoyed my time with this game. When I've got my critic's head on, if you'd say, is it a good game? No, I don't think it is that good a game.
I don't think it's a bad game. I think it is just good. But...
I think it's...
I don't know.
I would say it's sort of middle... It's mediocre, I would say. Like, it doesn't It doesn't really do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, if you remove the Simpsons skin from it, it's not a game that I'd be having fun playing. I'm playing it because it's a Simpsons game, and it's competent.
Yeah. I found that it had, like, a weird vibe of, like... I felt chilled, but it was actually frustrating.
Yeah.
And like, it's like a mad game where you're just constantly like smashing around corners, handbrake turning as fast as you can go to a really strict time limits, usually failing. But I'm like, this is such a chilled out time. I'm just having fun in Springfield, but I'm not having fun.
It's funny because like when it comes to Souls games and bosses and like crushing difficulty, I have a saturation point. I'll stick with it for so long and then I'll be like, nah, I'm done. Can't be bothered anymore. But for some reason, when it comes to like racing and time attack modes, I will sit and bash my head against that shit all fucking day.
Yeah.
Quite happily. And I don't know why that doesn't bother me, but yeah, I the hard parts of the Simpsons races were like some of my favorite ones. Like, I just love trying to figure out how to game it in a way that would just let me beat it. Like working out whether I was like, can I do this with this card and it come back later with a different card?
Yeah.
And like stuff like that. Yeah, I like that sort of stuff. It was just the sort of lack of any compelling narrative. And like, I remember, and it was probably you that probably hit it to me, because I was like, it's fun. It's got that Simpsons charm. And you're like, it does it though. And I was like, no, it doesn't.
No, because it just kind of makes the Simpsons annoying.
Yeah. yeah. But I would find that it was quite fun encountering characters. So like, I don't know. It's just that nostalgia thing, right? Yeah. So like I'd encounter, who's that kid that fat? No, it's Milhouse was fun. It's just like, oh yeah, there's Milhouse. Yeah. And it was, who's the Ralph? Oh, I absolutely love Ralph.
Yeah.
So like whenever you'd encounter him and you'd be like, he'd be counting down a race. I'd be like, oh, he's so good.
Yeah. And he'd always say something really stupid, like hi.
Yeah.
Mr. Lisa or whatever it is, to Bart or.
I assume like the best parts of this, they had just a lot of, I mean, I don't know if they do or not, like just like lines from the show that they were just firing at you.
Sometimes they were. Doing? Yeah. Sometimes they were. Sometimes they were newer ones.
What about,
you
the
know,
voice
something
actors? Were they...
he did say eat asphalt eaters a lot. Cause that really fucked me off over and over again. Cause Bart and Homer said it, or eat my dust, dust eaters. Like, God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I know there was a lot of lines, but...
It was just sort of good at throwing stuff at you to make you remember classic episodes. Like, I think when you start one of the first missions you do, it's like, sort of chucks Mr. Plough at you, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I remember that. And then you have a little giggle to yourself, and then you
can
go off
buy
and
Homer and his moo moo, or
the car that he designed with his brother later on.
Yeah, I have a little air freshener. Yes.
it was just sort of like watching a game that was just going, remember this, remember this, and I was like, yeah, I do.
It's kind of like. In a much less competent way, what the Smash Bros. Games have done in recent years, isn't it? Where it's just like chuck a shitload of dudes at you with all the then it will just update the soundtrack of the game with like 40 tracks from whatever character they've just included.
Yeah,
and you'll go to the museum and it'll be like, look at all these, and here's a sticker book, and here's all this other shit. And it did, yeah, because there's like 70 vehicles in this game, and they obviously most of them have relevance to the show. Yeah.
I'd have liked them to lean more into that, actually, and like just like, so if you're going to be a game of this type, just like have collectibles and make me collect stuff and then like unlock stuff, like you're saying, like a book that you can sort of complete and collect.
Yeah.
And it would just sort of remind you about all these little nuggets of goodness that The Simpsons had to it. I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess in a way it kind of does that, because most of the time you're just trying to find the coins to then buy a car or an outfit.
An outfit, which is from classic episodes. Yeah, you're talking about.
Like, or you're finding those cards.
The Marge one was a big one that I kind of noticed with that. Like, everything you were buying was like stuff that was like when she was a policeman, when she got sent to jail.
And,
yeah, you're totally right.
And then you're collecting the cards, and then but they just don't really do a lot. So you're just looking at them. When it had like it always had like really weird quotes, and some of them when you're reading the card description, like I remember some of the quotes were like so long, the text was scrolling for ages to actually get to the joke. I was just thinking like, what? Picked a different line from the show or something. What is happening here? but yeah, it's all that stuff that they chucked in it. I do appreciate. It's just as we're saying, like it's kind of wrapped up in a very repetitive game that doesn't have the top talent of Simpsons writing staff involved and is therefore just nowhere near as funny. And the narrative, as you said, that, you know, the narrative, not only is it not really compelling, it seems incredibly like either disjointed or invisible. Like,
I got confused about the Bart situation because Bart, like, so you're Homer and then you're Bart.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the Bart section, he appears to get abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
And then the next one, you're Lisa and you're looking for Bart. And I was like, oh, he's obviously been abducted by aliens. She's trying to find him.
Yeah.
And then you're Marge and she goes into his room and there seems to be like some sort of imposter Bart there.
No, that is Bart. He's just speaking weird because he's drank the buzz cover.
Right. Okay. Because I assumed imposter Bart. And then you're Bart again. And I was like, wait. I thought he got abducted by aliens.
Yeah,
what did I miss?
He obviously comes, they find him when he's been chucked back to Springfield, and then he's talking gibberish. So they take him home, and then somebody finds out, I think it must be Marge, finds out about the Buzz Cola because she goes knocking in all the vans, gets the Buzz Cola thing, takes it back to him, and he's like, oh yeah, no, that's what they use to control our minds. And then he sort of snaps out of it, and that's when you play as him again, which... I hate that you play as him and Homer again. I don't know why they couldn't just put you as like Mo or Wiggum or so, just like anyone else.
Yeah.
Rather than rehashing those characters.
I did not enjoy being a Pooh at all. Like he had a weird double jump. Like that he was like a Yoshi double jump, you know, when he spins his legs.
Oh yeah, but he did do a great elbow drop for his double
jump. He did. I
probably was amongst the people that got really wound up by the Pooh getting cancelled. Although I completely understand that if you're from that part of the world and you've heard him talk about working in a corner shop and stuff all your life, that may have portrayed your people in an unfavorable or stereotypical way. I understand, but you know, or
it's
you're
purely
upset.
His name that I think, like, I don't care about. Well, I don't know.
I always thought it was because it was Harry. It was.
Oh, it's a white guy that does an Indian accent, right? Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, to me, it's hard, isn't it? Because he's acting, right? So he's an actor. So that's what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's acting like he's an Indian person, which should be allowed. But
I mean, like, yeah. Well, this is the thing: is like I get confused about why it's not allowed because it's like when people go, "Oh, he's not Scottish." Do you know there's plenty of Scottish actors that can do it? And I'm like, I get it, but also
it's acting. Like,
yeah,
nobody's angry at Leonardo DiCaprio for pretending to be that guy in Titanic because he wasn't. Well, he wasn't meant. Was he Irish in that?
He's supposed to be.
Yeah. So, like, I don't get it. I don't get that. I just can't get my head around. I would need someone to, without getting carried away, like genuinely explain to me the problem.
Yeah. It's a Hank Azaria.
The name I could see.
Yeah.
Right, okay. He's called Apu.
Yeah, I never really thought they actually treated Apu I'm basing this off of The Simpsons that I watch and like, not the shit stuff that's happened in the last however many years. I never really felt like they made Apu out to be a bad person or a stupid character or a real massive stereotype. He was actually quite savvy and he was probably always making Homer look stupid. But I understand if Indian people find it offensive and lobbied enough executives or whatever to get rid of him, then whatever. That it is what it is. And if you look
at, is he not in it anymore?
No. I don't think so, anyway. I can't remember what the resolution was. Either Hank Azaria is not doing it anymore or Apu's not in the show. But
it just becomes a dangerous precedent to set, like, where you draw the line of offence. Like,
do
Christians get annoyed at Flanders? Because he's not. He's actually, in my memory, I don't have an intricate knowledge of each and every episode, but in my memory, Flanders is presented as a much more gullible person than Apu ever is. Like, the way he lets Homer treat him is abhorrent, actually.
Yeah, that's true. And they definitely mock Christianity a hell of a lot more than they mock anything to do with Apu's religion. But the documentary that came out about it called The Problem with Apu, it to be fair, is really well sort of thought out. And
so there is maybe
the guy's coming
I'm
at
missing.
It from a love of the show as well. And I can understand, times change. We probably, us as Englishmen, or, well, British people, white British people, aren't the people who are allowed to be annoyed by it, I guess. But the point I was going to make is, if you did have a problem with Apu, the way he is in this game would not have made you feel any better about it. If anything, this game portrays Apu a million times worse than the show ever did. Constantly playing like sitar music and stuff on his radio, constantly making him talk about stereotypical Indian things all the time. Like, I am a Vindaloo machine or whatever it is that he kept saying. Like, it was, they really just hammered in Indian stereotypes and then looped it every time you took control of him. So if you had a problem with Apu from the show, then this is a thousand times worse. But I understand he had to be in it because he's the one who was selling the cola and he felt bad. But in terms of the story that I was going to say earlier, it's like, sometimes they would talk about the story and sometimes the characters would talk about what's the overarching plot about aliens and shit. But other times it would be like, you'd have a mission and I don't know, your bar, and you had to get away from Skinner or something. You do the mission, then it would end and it would be like, drive over here. But what, why? What am I driving over there for? I felt like that happened so many times. Like, it would tell me no reason for what I was doing. And I'd get there and it would be utter bollocks. Like, the thing I had to do for the person I got to would be nothing to do with the story. It would just be some bullshit.
Bash a car.
Yeah.
The Skinner stuff. Yeah. It's like, my brother's gone missing and you had to just drive Skinner about.
Yeah. It's like, at least Lisa's one, most of the people she spoke to, she was like, where's Bart? And they would either mug her off or help her. And she would continually repeat the line of, I need to search for Bart. This is stupid.
Yeah, true.
But when you went back to like Homer and Bart again later on, and even Apu, like, it felt like the narrative had just been thrown out the window. And it's just like, go over here and do another race for some reason. Felt really odd.
Follow this car and bash it and so it drops stuff.
So you've got that. You've got smash up a car. You've got escape from a car. You've got race a car. You've got do a fetch quest and then come back with it quickly. Yeah. That's it, right? I couldn't think of anything else.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
And it's just
over and over again.
Over and over and over and over again. And thank fuck the driving mechanics in this feel really nice still. Like, I have no issue at all with how the cars handle in this game whatsoever.
No. No, I enjoyed it. It's they handle absolutely fine. The game does need a map.
Fucking Jesus, does it?
Especially because often, like, you would go some, it would be like, go and buy this car from Homer beside the hospital. So you'd go to Homer, you'd realize you didn't have enough money. It would just not tell you where he was anymore after that. It would just be like, nope, he's gone.
Yeah.
So you had to go around and get the money and be like, where was Homer again?
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, and it would say like, oh, you need to go change your outfit at the Quickie Mart. It's like, yeah, that's cool. Where's the fucking Quickie Mart?
Like, yeah.
I can't look at a map to see it, to plan my route. So I'm just going to have to drive until I find it. I'll go right that way and then I'll come back if it's not that way. And it was the same with like, if you were driving to do an objective and you'd be on your way to wherever, and it would then set like a black sedan on you, be like, escape the black sedan. And you'd end up turning around or something and going over some crazy jump, not realizing you fucking yourself right out of the mission route. Then you'd escape them and it'd be like, congratulations, now you've got even less time to go where you were going, but you weren't, you're not going now.
You quickly learn, just go where you're going, and if you see a black sedan, keep going where you're going, and then you'll hopefully lose it at some point, and then you just finish the level.
I'll get to where I'm going and I'll just go around in circles till it gives up. Bizarre.
Some of those things are hard, though. Like, some of those missions were really... The one I struggled with was one of the Apu ones, where you're driving the... What's the criminal guy about? Snake. You're driving him about, and you've got to... I think you're just going around... Actually, the whole section, I think, is pretty tough, because where you've got to destroy the armored car.
I hated that mission.
And then there's one where you basically just got to go around and pick stuff up. It's like... You just got to hit the checkpoints and get places in certain times. And yeah, I found his Apu section the toughest, I think, of the lot, if I'm honest.
I really struggled in one of the... I struggled through the ones that involved the board, like the Springfield Squidport, because you're going around those really tight corners and there's so many people there every time. And one of the races
always
through
getting
that...
Always getting hit and runs.
Yeah. I was getting really stuck, just kind of like not getting through it quick enough. There was one bit where I tried to like, I kept trying to cut back on myself at one point and drive through the bottom of that big boat because you could smash through the glass and do a real shortcut. But to get onto that jump, sometimes it just did not work and I'd hit the side and fall in the water. And yeah. And then the last mission, the one with Granddad, I think I probably at least 10 times got hit by hit and run, dropped the nuclear stuff and then had to drive back to the power plant and continually just going back and getting halfway to the school and then coming back again until I just...
I never realized until you get to the last level, each level, it reduces the threshold for hitting off a hit and run as well. So like by the time you get to the last level, it's like...
That makes sense.
Only two-thirds the size of it that it was previously.
That's weird. It's not like most games where it makes things easier in that regard as you go along by you leveling up or getting more experience. This one is just actively making it shitter as you get towards the end. And yeah, I really felt it towards the end. That was just getting... The worst thing about that last bit, which I quite enjoyed, how the final level of the game turns into like a Treehouse of
Horror. I thought
it was
done really well. I thought that it was really cool the way they did it.
And I actually felt like that made most of the good jokes in that part of the game as well by that stage, because... Mm-hmm. To be honest, they hadn't really made any. But like when you're back to Homer again, and then like it's got like you go into Bart's room and it's got that weird bed that's a clown. I can't sleep. Clown will eat me. And there's one of the ones where you like all the races are just done by zombies or something. And then Homer's zombie? Yeah. They got you working at the DMV now? Which I thought was a good line. And something about Mo's asking you to... You have to go ask Mo for some supplies or something, and he says he doesn't want to give it to you, and then Homer says, shouldn't supplies be left for somebody with loved ones? I was like, there we go, a proper joke, that Homer being a jerk, finally.
I don't know why, but it really tickled me when you'd drive, whenever you'd have to go into the DMV, and you'd go into the DMV and the phone would be ringing, and everybody's just sitting ignoring it. Yeah. I don't know why it really got me, it just made me laugh so much.
Well, I mean, Patty and Selma, yeah, it makes sense. They don't do anything good.
No.
Right, we'll talk some more about the game in a minute. Let's get through all the info for all the listeners.
Let's do it.
Who want an education. So as David pointed out at the beginning of the show, the game was released for GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox on 16th of September 2003. which is 20 years ago, which is why this podcast has come around. That was in North America. We got it on the 31st of October in the UK, which is pretty funny. It was released in November on Windows as well, which that version, I do believe, may still be playable, but it's a lot of ball ache to get it done. I was really struggling to actually get a version of this working until I figured out what was wrong with my Dolphin emulator for the GameCube one. According to Simpsons Wiki, it sold over 5.5 million copies as of 2009. And it has between 78 to 82 on Metacritic across the four platforms. The PS2 version is the one that has 78, and then it goes GameCube, Xbox, and then PC is the highest rated on Metacritic. As I mentioned earlier, Radical Entertainment were the developers of this and had previously made Simpsons Road Rage, but Sega sued them for it. So they pivoted towards being more like Grand Theft Auto 3 for this version, which had just come out, and they were all really excited by, as the entire industry was, I guess, at that point. Apparently, even internally, the developers referred to the game as Grand Theft Auto while they were in development for it. We also touched on it earlier, but all the character voices in this game are supplied by the actual cast of the show. Some of the series writers as well wrote the entire story for the game, including the dialogue. But as I said, they weren't the A-team because they didn't exist anymore. They were all on Futurama by that point. Does have loads of original voice samples. Obviously, this got some one-liners from the show. Some of the dialogue from Road Rage was reused as well. There's a really funny story about the fact that you can kick people and like punch and kick people in the street. And they didn't put that feature in the game until kind of late in the development when they suddenly realized, right, let's make it like a GTA game where you can actually get out of the car and explore Springfield. And I am glad they did that. There were like a real small amount of missions where it kind of made you jump across rooftops and stuff, which I quite enjoyed. But that also carries with it a caveat of if you weren't doing the missions where you're out on foot, most of the time you're on foot would be to climb up stuff and find the wasp cameras or the boxes, and they repeated every time you did the levels again, no matter if it was level one version of the original Springfield or level seven. I always found that like all the wasp cameras were in exactly the same place for a different character and stuff. Did you find that?
Well, that's a good point, actually. Yes, probably.
See, like, well, I know where there's going to be a camera because it's going to be on top of the Quickie Mart in that little Paul McCartney garden, and there he is. Got it every time. But anyway, so yeah, when you're out on foot, there are some very basic attacks that you can do. And apparently the developers and playtesters found it really funny to kick Marge as Homer when they were playtesting it. But they made a rule in the development team to never, ever kick Marge in front of Matt Groening if he was there to look at the game. But apparently... Why? I just, like, just in case he got really upset at them for doing something that he wanted to, like, no, you can't. You know, unless you got all George Lucas on him and was like, you can't kick Marge in this game. Like, I'm not having it. You're ruining my IP. I didn't give you that license to be violent towards my characters or whatever. But according to the game's producer, his name is John Melchior. He said, as soon as Matt Groening picked up the game, the first thing he did was kick the crap out of Marge. He literally kicked her down the street from their house to the Quickie Mart.
Is that why? So I googled Simpsons Hit and Run before this podcast.
Yeah.
To have a click about, and there's, if you look at images, one of the first images is just Marge getting the absolute shit kicked out of her.
Yeah, it might have been his footage of him doing it. That's mad that he's obviously had these characters that he's created for so long. He's just fed up of it or whatever. That's just his inner turmoil coming out. Like, what have I done? I'm never escaping this. Take that, Marge. So. The game was delayed by 3 months, apparently, which is, I don't know. It doesn't seem like abnormal for that period of time, sort of early 2000s. It just seems more abnormal to know about it. I feel now we hear about every game gets delayed and we hear about it all the time, and they go on the Twitter and they tell everybody, sorry, we'll make it good. But apparently they did not expect to get any extra time for the game. They went to Radical Entertainment, went to Vivendi Universal Games, the publisher, and asked for more time and money, and they were shocked to get 3 months longer and more money to make the game and make it better. So kudos to them for taking the chance.
Yeah.
So I guess in addition to what you were saying earlier about the threshold for getting a hit and run going lower as the game goes on. I didn't realize as well that apparently it has a dynamic reactive difficulty where if you keep failing a mission over and over again, it will eventually make it easier for you.
Oh, will it?
Which, with me using save states, getting frustrated, probably never benefited from, because I was keeping it as hard as possible, just repeating it by pressing F1 instead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I've just put a bid for Simpsons Hit and Run on Xbox on eBay. So let's see if I win that in 4 days' time.
I'd quite like to play that version, actually. The last little factoid I have is that there was supposed to be a sequel for it. The Radical Games developers were actually apparently really excited to make like a bigger game, and they wanted to have like more interactivity with the world, less linear missions, more unique traits for each character rather than just them all being basically the same with the same sort of attack. But Vivendi, the publisher, decided that they didn't want to renew the Simpsons license because it was like the cost was too high. And they also didn't want to keep making Simpsons games. They were kind of done with it at that point. And then I didn't realize this, but in 2008, Vivendi merged with Activision to become Activision Blizzard because Vivendi had bought Blizzard's parent company, Havas, in 1998. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
No.
And apparently also the developers at Radical Entertainment said that they actually would rather not do Simpsons as well. They wanted to work on some of their other IPs. So they subsequently went on to make Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which is supposed to be really good, actually. And they also made the prototype games. Remember those ones on 360?
Yeah, they're not bad. They just got, I'm sure they had their lunch eaten by a better game at that point.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Well, any open world game at the time, really. They're about boxed down. Oh,
it came along at the same time as, did it not come along at the same time or like sort of roughly the same time as the Infamous games?
And Crackdown as well, I'd assume.
And Crackdown.
Yeah. Mm. Apparently the second prototype game failed to meet sales expectations to such an extent that Radical Entertainment was dissolved by Activision at that point and has never been in existence since. So they done fucked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my notes on the game. As I said, I think the setting is fantastic. I think Springfield is brilliantly imagined. It's just the story and the humor that doesn't land the way that it never did land. I remember even when I was a young, you know, when I was a kid 20 years ago thinking, this isn't very funny. Like they're not saying Simpsons stuff that actually makes me, they're just saying like, they're just saying 2000s era video game shit, but it's the Simpsons actors saying it. It's the same as like if you play, I don't know, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4, you know, it's a great game, but if you go and speak to somebody who gives you a task in Tony Hawk's, they just say like one line and it's terrible. Bam will be like, "What up, dude? Go do a 180 gnarly off of that ramp, bro." And then you'd be like, oh, they paid you for that? Okay. That kind of felt like
I do get the nostalgia of these things, though. Like, I was trying to think, there's plenty of other games where it's fun just to sort of exist in the world. And it's like remembering what it's like. I mean, the South Park Stick of Truth games are in Fractured Butthole. Well, not so much that one, but Stick of Truth is fun just to sort of wander around the places and say, oh yeah, I remember that. And then it's like, I'll chuck jokes at you from the show.
Although again, that was genuinely bit of a funny. Like this,
yes. As I say, this one doesn't quite hit those highs, but you're right. It is quite, there's something comforting about being in Springfield and just going for a drive around and seeing all the places you recognise from the show. I don't know if this is offensive or not to the game, but it's a pretty good podcast game. Like, you just sort of stick your podcast on and drive. And for the most part, you can take in what's going on.
Considering they're apparently claiming that the license for The Simpsons is too expensive, money's too tight for steak. They really didn't, like, push the boat out in terms of the soundtrack, where soundtrack is perfectly fine. Some of the songs are quite nice. Lisa's will be at the beginning of this episode because I think that one's really funky. And I liked how it was kind of like each person's music was sort of like related to them and how their character is. Like Marge's one really sounded like a Tom Jones song because she really likes Tom Jones.
No Bleeding Gums Murphy that I saw, unless he's hidden and I just never came across him.
No, he's probably dead by that point.
I was really expecting to... Oh, does he Does he die in the show, does he?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
like the actor dies?
He dies in the show.
Okay.
There's a whole episode about Lisa where he dies. That. And yeah.
Oh.
And then she sees him in the sky and he's like playing with him.
I do sort of remember that. Yeah, okay, I have seen that. I should have known that and I've deleted it because I was just like, oh yeah, I'm assuming he's going to appear at some point. And then he just didn't. I was like, oh. He feels like a gaping maw of a character.
Well, there you go. Now you know. Dead.
Indeed.
The key thing, well, not the key thing, but one of the biggest memories that people have from games like GTA or whatever the early ones is the radio stations, right? And it just felt like a real missed opportunity that you've got, The Simpsons have released CDs of the music from the show that I own, obviously. Why not have like all those songs playing through the radio on a cycle and have some funny adverts? Or
you could have Troy McClure adverts.
Yeah. The actor of that guy's dead, so maybe they couldn't do that either. I don't know.
You can also have the news anchor just speaking like he's got a radio show as well as being a news anchor. Yeah. Like that happens.
Yeah, exactly. Get a bit of Kent Brockman on the air.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
As long as he has his Danish, he'll be up for it.
I assume Flanders' wife is dead by this point as well. They kill her as well, don't they?
They do kill her. Maybe she was dead by this point. Yeah, maybe. That's when that was when it was in real early sort of beginnings of the doldrums of what it is now, but where like Flanders then goes on like dating things and they're talking about like how he's got a massive dick and he's totally ripped and stuff, like really weird, pointless shit. But yeah,
you're right though. Like
why have we not got like proper Simpsons songs in this game? Or yes, at least like some sort of radio station where you can change the one track that keeps playing.
Yes, absolutely. And you're totally right as well. Like there's so many characters like they've missed. Like they could have done, instead of doing Bart and Homer twice, you could have had like Krusty is one that it also could have been missed out, and there wasn't much itchy and scratchy that stuff going about that I can remember seeing.
I don't know if there is actual itchy and scratchy cartoons in it, because I think I missed that, but I think there are.
Okay,
maybe if you just missed touch it. The TV in
you,
the house,
you can watch it on the TV or in Bart's room or something like that.
Yeah, because in the I think it's in the Quickie Mart, you can go and play the Larry the Looter game, which is in, I don't know what episode it is, but there's a game that Bart plays where you play as a criminal. And the video that they show you in the game is exactly what it is in the TV show, where he runs along, gets his head shot off by a policeman and then runs out of money or something. So there's a lot of like things in there you could miss. Like it's every area you go to definitely has some little visual gag and like, oh, look, it's Jasper in the freezer because he's Frostilicus, or like I said earlier, Bart's clown bed.
To 100% the level, you had to go around and sort of activate all the gags.
I never really figured out when I was doing that. Is that when you get a coin as a reward? Is that when you know you've done a gag?
Basically, if there's something you can go up to and press, well, it was Y for me, basically go up to and interact with. Yeah. that was one. There is a distinct, like, there's a weird focus, and maybe this is just my lack of Simpsons knowledge, but like there's a whole section of the game for Snake, for example. There's very, very little Burns. He's a pretty prominent character.
Yeah.
And you have to run up to him a couple of times. Same with Smithers.
Through his bloody office with the million trap doors, which at first I was like, it's got a trap door like in the show, but that was just really annoying. There was no way to figure out where the trapdoor was. Yeah, you're right. I guess maybe because he does have a car, but he doesn't really drive. I guess Snake was in it because Snake has Little Bandit that needs premium, dude. And
yeah,
he was in it for that reason. And Apu's kind of had that flash sort of sports car in the show as well. So maybe that's why they were in there. But who else did they have to talk to? You had to talk to Chief Wiggum a little bit as Lisa, didn't you? To search for Bart. As you said, you got Skinner involved. You got Comic Book Guy a couple of times, which the relevance to that. Professor Frink was in it a lot. Krusty was quite near the end as well when you go down to his studios, isn't it?
You got to go to his studios, yeah. I was also thinking there while you were talking, I guess there's like something, like if you were talking about like remembering a lot of the big gags, there's probably a lot, especially like themed episodes in The Simpsons that maybe they wouldn't be able to do because they are riffs on actual IPs. Does that make sense? So like there's a Simpsons episode with a dome over Springfield, which is just ripping from Stephen King's The Dome and stuff like that. So like
there's a lot of
stuff that they take from pop culture.
True.
Anyway, much like, but then South Park does that and it's still funny.
Yeah.
In the game. Yeah,
yeah, South Park made a game about them ripping off Lord of the Rings in that one episode.
Yeah, you're right. They really did. They really did. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like it. Like I say, I didn't have a terrible time with the game. I enjoyed it. It feels like a fairly big missed opportunity to do something for like the big fans like yourself. And maybe that's just talent, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
Comedy's hard, and maybe the people that had the job of doing it just didn't have the chops to do it, unfortunately.
Well, yeah,
it's nobody's fault, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, like I said, they're at a stage of The Simpsons where they weren't the original writing team. They were a much newer group when the show was not at its apex or really anywhere near it. So it's unfortunate that it came out and was able to be realized in that way at a time when The Simpsons was no longer as good as it was at its peak. Whereas South Park's game did, I guess.
Yeah, and Trey Parker and Matt Stone worked directly on.
Well, they wrote the whole thing,
the script. Yeah, so and they tied it into that current season that it like TV season that
they
it was
did.
Released
yeah,
in.
You're right. They did.
I guess that's both good and bad. Like, unless THQ had gone bust, we may never have seen that game because it was at Ubisoft that bought it.
Yeah.
And basically had to give Trey Sun and Matt Parker like a crash course, video development course, because they were just apparently holding up the development so much and being so obstructive that they basically had, no, this is how you make a video game. Yeah, and then that sort of streamlined things and they're able to get the game. Because I remember that game was having lots and lots and lots of delays.
It really did.
They didn't know, they were obviously inadvertently being quite obstructive to the game coming out, yeah, because they just wanted it to be perfect. But they also didn't know how to make games.
Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah, well, in a way, I guess I'm glad that they were involved with it because it did turn out far better in terms of a piece of a show than this did. But
yeah.
It's just a shame that, you know, no one's really tried to do anything with the Simpsons license since then. And if they did try and do it, it's not really going to be worth having anyway. The Simpsons game that came out a few years later on 360 largely went ignored because it just wasn't that great and it had a
which one was that?
That's the one where you get an achievement for pressing start. That was just called The Simpsons game. It was on 360.
Okay. So The Simpsons game I never played a huge amount of it, but in my sort of circle of friends, The Simpsons game that really struck a chord was the wrestling Simpsons game. I remember my friends playing a lot of that.
That's bizarre because that is notoriously one of the worst video games ever made.
Is it?
Not just Simpsons ones. That one and Simpsons skateboarding are like right down in the deep trash pile of gaming history.
Yeah, just don't know. It feels like we're probably never going to get the good Simpsons game. I guess this is the one that it's always going to be.
This is the one, and the only thing we're going to get is if a fan does a proper, you know, remaster of it or whatever that several people have been out there trying to do. Like that one guy, this sort of, I can't remember his name now, but he's like hand animating all the cutscenes again. Mm-hmm. I doubt he'll ever get that done. And then there's another guy who I think has done a full mod for it that does actually work, but I couldn't really tell what that did other than sort of sharpen it up.
Okay.
They've not done anything drastic like this other guy's doing where he's really trying to go into every asset and make it look more like the show, because some of the character models in this definitely need that. Lisa's especially is like nightmare fuel. She looks so weird with fully 3D spherical head with just little triangles coming out. Just looks awful. I don't really know what else there is to talk about on this one because there's so little. I mean, I guess in the pantheon of licensed games, it's got to be in the top five, I assume.
That would be a fun podcast. I wonder what best licensed games.
We could probably give that a whirl at some point.
Yeah, that would be a fun one. I mean, South Park's got it for me certainly in there.
Goldeneye,
the Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah, yeah.
That would probably be in there as well.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Better look behind me. Have I got any licensed games going about? Oh, the most recent Harry Potter game, perhaps. That is the one for me that when we were talking about earlier on, you were saying how it just sort of tickles all your nostalgia buttons being in Springfield and exploring and being able to go around and see all the things. That, like, the recreation of Hogwarts in that recent Harry Potter game was just unbelievable for Harry Potter fans.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at.
It was just like, it was just a lovely, beautiful realization of that. And that's my assumption. The feelings that I got from that is what I assume you were getting from
totally
Hit and Run.
Yeah, like I said, everywhere you go in the game, there's something going on in the background or whatever that is a reference that I would have had some sort of enjoyment out of. It's just, that's a visual thing. And then the actual writing and the comedy and the acting of it was nowhere near as good as it should have been. Star Wars, I guess, has got quite a lot of good ones. The Warriors,
for God's sakes.
Oh, I did say Golden.
Oh, did you? I was too busy peeking around. Yeah, The Warriors is another one. We spoke about that recently, didn't we?
Yeah, because I want to play it, because I'm going to get it on the original Xbox. I've never played it.
Yeah, that's one we need to take a look at and see if we can be bothered playing it for a podcast.
Definitely.
I suppose there are. Castle of Illusion's a good one. Yeah, that's probably quite a good old school Mega Drive one. The Aladdin one, brutally difficult.
I've got into arguments before with people on other podcasts when talking about licensed games, because they're sort of saying, like, well, FIFA's a licensed game. It's kind of like, how do you distinguish what is and what isn't a licensed game at that
point? Feel. You've got to feel. I mean, that's the only way I can think to say it is it's a vibe or a feeling. Like,
yeah, I mean, that is a licensed game, I guess, because if it has a license from some other IP, then yeah.
Technically speaking, and this is why I'm trying to describe it as a feeling. Technically speaking, yes, it is. Is it in the spirit of what this discussion is?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
NBA, you know, NBA Jam is a licensed game or whatever, I suppose. And then again, because even more into that, I remember I was arguing with one guy who was basically saying a licensed game is only one that is relevant to a specific, like, piece of art that was created by, like, in that IP, like, a has to
so
be
like,
an actual film.
Batman Arkham Asylum
is not a licensed game,
but Spider-Man 2,
yes, exactly,
on the PS2.
Exactly,
yes,
yeah,
right, okay.
You just picked two great games out there, by the way,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting argument, I guess, or maybe it's not, maybe it's just childish, silly one that's not worth having. I don't know. But
I don't know. That's the whole point in having these. Making lists and coming up with parameters to be able to operate within is fun. Because I can get that. Because you're right. Like, technically speaking, FIFA and NBA, they are licenses.
Yeah.
They're not what we're talking about if we're talking about licensed games. And actually, then if you're talking about that, like, other licensed games, like the Spider-Man games, they're not based on anything specific. But so then the Simpsons Hit and Run, a licensed game by that metric?
No.
Probably not.
No.
It's its own thing, right?
Yeah. It's not based on any actual story from the show. It's not based on the film.
If you start doing that, it becomes much harder. I mean, GoldenEye.
Toy Story on the snares.
Toy Story, yeah. Aladdin. We're not having the Lion King in there. That's horrid, game.
That game sucks. Matrix, The Path of Neo, where you get to play the Neo bits from the Matrix 3 films.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a massive Simpsons fan, there's a lot for me to sort of just sit and enjoy. Like I said, even though the game at times I found to be really frustrating, not in terms of, like, necessarily the mechanics, because as I said, the driving I found to be really enjoyable, because it's really arcadey. You can throw yourself around all the corners. It's quite fun, like, zipping in and out of tight corners. And they did do some quite creative stuff with the track design by the end when you're doing races and things, like having you go over massive jumps and come back on yourself and go under things and over things. That was quite fun. But the overall feeling of being in that world and that setting is very comfortable for me, which I enjoyed, even though the game was frustrating me more than it wasn't by the end.
I guess for me, like, it just feels like such a missed opportunity for me, because I totally agree with you in that the mechanics of it are fairly solid. is and like some of the platforming I found quite irritating. Like, yeah,
well, the camera's dog shit. That's probably why.
Yeah, the camera's awful. But like, actually, just driving, because for all intents and purposes, this game is ostensibly a driving game. So yeah, like, if I remove the platforming aspect of the game and just look at the driving mechanics, solid, really fun to interact with, and the recreation of the world is again solid, fun, well, largely well made. I just don't think they filled it with enough interesting things. Like, the first section of it, really good, and then they just repeat it seven times. And yeah, and there's like we spoke about earlier, there's like four different mission structures. It's a game from, I don't want to be overly harsh in that regard. Like, I think that's a massive negative for me, in that, like, it's a good game because it's a, like I said before, it's a Simpsons IP that is created pretty lovingly. I don't think in its own right it's a good game if you don't attach the Simpsons license to it, which makes me think it's not a good game. But I don't want to be too harsh on it because it's from an era in which licensed games, to bring that up again, tended not to be good. So if, like, from licensed games of that era, it probably is one of the better ones. So it's both frustrating and a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open world games from that era weren't very good, I guess. No. Because if you look at, I mean, even if you look back at the old GTA games, they're all largely going to be repetitive.
GTA 3 was groundbreaking in its time, and yeah, pretty awe-inspiring for me, actually. But when you go back and play them today, they're clunky messes that don't actually have much variety to them. I've recently, even GTA 4, recently played through that, and that is obviously a much later, well, a few years later game. I was going to say much later. It's not much, much later, but even that, like, what propelled me through that game is actually getting attached to the main character and then seeing the main character be put in ridiculous situations and how he responded to the ridiculous characters and situations he found himself in. Like, the story wasn't great and the actual mission structure was pretty bad. It was drive here, shoot these people, drive here, shoot these people, drive here, pick up this pickup, escape from this person.
Tail
again,
this person, blah,
very,
blah, blah.
Very similar to what we're talking about here, and there's like four or five missions that just repeat on a loop. It's easy to forget now because how varied and big and expansive games are that was actually the norm. And now that I'm talking to you about that, I'm maybe feeling a bit more positive on the game, thinking that actually most games are like that back then.
Are they not like that anymore? I mean, let's think about, I don't know, Far Cry 4. That has a lot of scope for experimentation, but realistically, the missions are all the same. I've just played Final Fantasy 16 and finished that. All that game is you go somewhere, you listen to somebody talk, and you're going to end up in a fight. Even the Yakuza games, which I absolutely love, and to be fair, they are filled with mini games, and they are propelled by excellent writing and funny stories and gripping drama, but everything that happens in a Yakuza game is basically going to end up with you fighting someone to resolve the conflict.
You're right. Unless it's a podcast game, and if you're making one of these games, unless you end up being a podcast game, it is what propels you through these games largely, is having a core fun gameplay loop of like five or six things you do, plus a story or characters or something that is going to grip you and drag you through.
Yeah.
Because again, like GTA 5, actually, much of the missions are very similar on loop. It's just, for me, I just absolutely adore that story. Yeah, you're right.
David, are all games shit and repetitive?
Yeah, I feel like I was like, oh no, let's not pull this thread. We're just about to ruin video games for ourselves. That's it. It's over.
Whatever you think of video game wise, like there are very few games, and ironically, I actually think that if we were to sit down and look at it, I'm pretty sure the Simpsons game by EA is incredibly varied, but none of it's good.
Yeah.
But most stuff you're going to play is just going to repeat the core thing, isn't it? I mean, like Resident Evil, whatever. All it is walking through, shooting a zombie, opening a door, find a key, do a puzzle, shoot a zombie, open a door, find a key, do a puzzle. But there was just something about this where the scope was higher. The scope was there for more comedy, more people to interact with, more characters to play as, more stuff to do than just drive. Like, nothing was played out in a way that set up a situation for being in any way elaborate. It was all just like you and one person talking and one person saying a few lines of dialogue and you going, whoa, I better go do what you're asking then. And then you go and do what they ask. There was no like setup. In fact, this game has two cutscenes with Bart where you see giant things like the Truckosaurus and...
Yeah.
And the T-Rex.
The T-Rex.
You don't get to fight either of them. You just look at it and then he drives away.
You look at it, drives away, and then with the T-Rex, he trips over a plug, which makes the T-Rex explode.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad the cutscene fixed that dilemma that could have been fun to play for me. Cheers.
What did you think? I actually meant to bring this up and I totally forgot. What did you think about the cutscenes? Because it's like... the actual game looks closer to the TV show than the cutscenes do, and I found that I found that quite jarring. I was like, "No, this is like a 2D sort of cartoon. This is one moment where you can get away, save money by instead of sinking money into rendering these assets that are clearly quite expensive, just make it look like the game. It would have been better and less jarring to me.
I completely agree with that because." Although people might suggest that, oh, it needs to be the same as the in-engine models so that you don't get, I don't know, as you say, it doesn't feel like it's a jarring experience. But nobody is going to complain if you have actual animated Simpsons cutscenes by proper animators that looks like the TV show. Which is why that guy is hand doing it himself, because he knows that as well, that it would just be better.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the cutscenes are terrible. It just looks so ugly, this game. And I've never thought that the game looks particularly great. Luckily, the source material is such that it doesn't need to be fully sweeping vista like in Breath of the Wild or whatever. But the character models, especially, I think, are the worst part of it. The actual setup of Springfield's totally fine. You don't really need to do more than that with it, unless you're going to make it a fully hand animated open world game. Like, I don't know, get the guys from fucking Cuphead to do it.
Yeah, there is as much as moaning about the lack of a map. I do want to say though that there's also something quite. I think I go on about this in episode to episode that we do these podcasts, but like it got to the point where the characters would be like, "Go here," and I'd know exactly where I had to go and be able to drive straight there.
Yeah,
I find something weirdly there's like a bit of my brain that enjoys that I know where I'm going.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that. I mean, the mini map is there, and it does obviously have the dot that sort of says like, "Go that way if you want." Mm-hmm. That's kind of, it's over there, and I guess that probably does try and like teach you to find the shortcuts and figure out your own way there, rather than just showing you a GPS thing on a map. And that would avoid as well what you were saying in terms of like, I don't want to be looking at the map the whole time or staring at the mini map rather than looking at the game's scenery. But I found that without an actual map on it, then it did kind of end up with me just being like looking for the blue dot on the minimap to try and figure things out at first, at least. Anyway, once you kind of know where the shortcuts are or you've repeated a race that many times that you know, okay, now I'm going to go through Cletus's backyard and then I'm going to go through the graveyard and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You plan and out the you route were in your sort head, of, but...
whether through design or not, you were sort of forced into that at times because obviously like... there comes a point where the time limits you're subjected to are tight.
Well, extremely. So
you need to be knowing where the shortcuts are and hitting them. Because and also on top of that, there's a couple of occasions where the map route would be telling me to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And it is not the direction I need to be going. There was one where you've got to go with you know where the blimp is?
I remember watching you play that. Is that the Lisa?
And it's telling you to go off to the right, and you have to go left, basically, and go through a tunnel.
Yeah, you have to go like under something and then go actually over to the blimp, which wasn't very obvious,
And in the first and last area, when you were driving to the school, the map would always try and drive you the long way around in the playgroup rather than just like over the top of the bump.
Yeah, totally. And they literally signpost these shortcuts with a big bit of glass with Krusty's face on it. And they keep telling you in all the loading screens, you know, look for Krusty's glass for shortcuts or whatever. And
I kept expecting those to be like smash all the glass and it just wasn't a thing.
No. Yeah, it doesn't do a lot of any things like that at all, does it? In terms of like,
no.
Again, interacting with the environment. It's just go find the cards and the gags. I suppose that's interacting with the environment, but I just didn't really see a lot of it. I just didn't really know what I was looking for and didn't want to go around pressing Y on every fucking wall like it was Wolfenstein.
There's a dumpster. Let's go press Y on it.
Yeah, I think when we come to the Game of the Year nominations at the end of this, we may end up with this being up there for worst game, which is a shame. But it's...
I think we spoke about this when we did Game of the Year last time. It's not a problem, but I think it's like you have to caveat our Game of the Year ones in that until we're getting paid for doing this podcast, like we're picking games we want to play. So chances are we're going to like all the games that we're playing. So being bottom of the list, you still made it onto the list of games that we wanted to play this year.
Yeah, that is a good point.
It's chances are it's not going to be a bad game. And actually, now we've sort of teased it apart, it's actually not a bad game. It's kind of its time, and there are aspects of it that I think that could have been done better, but I think I'm of the opinion that it's just, and this is not a dig, it's just a sort of observation that it's just a sort of lack of talent in the writing department. But then you're asking people to write some of the most famous characters of all time, right?
Yeah. I guess
never going to be that good.
Yeah, and I guess if you're not making people sit and watch like 5 minutes of material, or it's not an interactive like movie game, you're going to have to tread that really fine line of mixing jokes and references and comedy with video game objective explanations and exposition. So I guess you have to at some point eschew the comedy, because I just have to tell the person what to do now. And a lot of the time what I'm telling them to do isn't a funny thing. It's just go get that and come back. And it falls into that trap over and over and over again of every character you meet just says, "Oh, I'll do something for you if you go down my jack and get this from my mama." And then you go and do it. And then they come back and they go, "Yeah, cheers." And that's basically it. There's not a lot of scope for making the jokes if you feed us that type of game. If that's what you deliver to us, then that's all you can really do with it.
Very much enjoyed collecting cardboard for Cletus because he had plumbing to do. I don't know why. That is another one that really tickled me.
He kept making you pick up like ridiculous shit, like packets of ketchup for his family to eat during the winter or something. I can't even think of like standout missions, to be honest.
No,
because it's all the same.
There's like four of them, I think. Yeah, it's like
the armored car one will live in my nightmares for a very long
time. That's the worst. Yeah, that was awful. I basically bashed it, and I don't know how you did it, but you basically just go like sort of, you got to nestle yourself up against it while it's going at speed, and then just try and drive it into a wall, and then follow it until you could find some health and then do it again.
Yeah, so I think I eventually did do that, what you're saying. And to be fair, actually, I actually got pretty good at like smashing up cars by the end by doing that trick. One of them, I think he basically tried to turn away and he accidentally went down. It was on the level that's got the squid port on it, and it's got that bit where you can kind of like go down some stairs, and then there's that weird thing that keeps like opening and closing. I'd always drive into it down those little things.
Yeah.
He tried to go down there, but he fucked it and he went to the left, and there's obviously a brick wall, like a really short bit, and then you just hit a brick wall. So I boxed him in so that he couldn't turn left. So he just went alongside one wall and then me on the other side and just head first into a wall. And then I just reversed and he just didn't move. So then I just rammed into his asshole until he was dead. So I did get quite good at that by the end, but the armored car one, I wasn't doing the ramming like or the pushing into a wall at that point. I was just trying to smash him. And I remember I had to just keep, luckily there was no time limit, so I just had to keep like leaving him, drive off for ages to find a little screwdriver thing.
Oh, could you
to
leave
fix
my
car? And then just drove back and found him again and then just rinsed and repeated. And that mission took me like 10 minutes because I'd be like, right, wait there. I'll be back in a minute with a fresh car. If there's a time limit, I'd have failed it immediately. But there wasn't, so I just took ages over it. Horrible
mission. There was that mission that it must have been a destroy the car mission. And I remember when I was streaming it, I was just parked beside the car and it was just reversing into walls, like back and forth into walls, blowing itself up.
Yeah. That's great.
I need to put that on our TikTok.
Yes. I don't think there was anywhere near enough, like, world damage on these cars, though. Like, sometimes they would crash into another car and get no damage whatsoever. It's like, oh, come on. That would kill normal people. I don't know if I have anything more to say.
No, I think that's it. Kind of a cool game, but it's quite a simple game. There's not a lot to it.
It's an endearing sort of memento of Simpsons fandom and video game fandom that is a good game of the Simpsons.
Are there any other
one and the only good one other than maybe the arcade game, I guess.
Are there any other good Simpsons games? Even 2D ones? Are there any platforms? What's that? SNES one or NES one?
No, the NES Bart versus the Space Mutants is one of the worst games I've ever played.
Oh.
That is fucking terrible. That was the first one they ever made. There's one called Virtual Bart, which I reviewed for Sega Mania magazine, where I tried to write as many. Would you want me to read you that review?
Yeah, let's
see
if
we've got some time. Because that was one of my proudest ever reviews, that was, where I, like I say, it's upside down. Every point I wanted to make, I tried to add a Simpsons quote to it. So I was like, this was made for me to write this. Right, here we go. So this is Virtual Bart. What a tragedy the Simpsons video game repertoire is. The 1992 Mega Drive port of the NES game Bart vs. the Space Mutants stands as the undisputed blurst thing bearing the Simpsons name bar everything post-1997, and even that has some pretty serious competition. What's most galling is that the Simpsons arcade is a fantastic beat-em-up, but Konami simply couldn't get the rights to port it to console. The home console Simpsons games were largely published by Acclaim, with development duties the responsibility of Sculptured Software, a Utah-based studio known for the perfectly cromulent Super Star Wars series on the Super Nintendo Chalmers. Fucking hell. And most recently, the craptacular Bart's Nightmare. They returned to attempt an apology with Virtual Bart. Don't expect them to improve things here, but if it'll make you feel any better, I've learned that each Simpsons game is just one crushing defeat after another until you just wish Flanders was dead. Virtual Bart plays much like its predecessor. The crux of the story sees Bart accidentally get himself trapped in Martin Prince's science fair exhibition, a VR machine in the form of a giant spinning wheel that the user is required to strap themselves to. You hit a button to make the wheel stop on one of six minigames, and no matter which one you pick, you get the dud. Pig Bart sees you controlling an annoyingly slow porcine version of Mrs. Simpson's baby boy running about a factory trying to avoid becoming a steamed ham. And I call them steamed hams, despite the fact that they are obviously canned. Pig Bart's movement is slow and cumbersome, which doesn't help when you have to rescue other pigs using levers and jump over evil clowns. Bart says to not have a cow, but this pig sure moves like one. No idea where to go and no speed with which to get there make Homer something something. It's just shameless. The next minigame, Dino Bart, sees the spiky-haired Hellraiser take the form of the one thing that money can't buy, a dinosaur. Anyone disappointed with how slowly Pig Bart moves will have no such issues here, just the complete opposite issue. This is perhaps the fastest, slipperiest, most inaccurate platforming you've ever experienced. It comes complete with a host of buggering little buggers throwing assorted shit at you as you climb up a seemingly endless number of rocks. Dino Bart is not a bad minigame. It may be frustrating, repetitive, clunky, a bad minigame, but it is not a porn star. But you getting all these references?
I'd say less than half.
Baby Bart is perhaps the least fun thing in the entire game. Bart wants to escape his bedroom and chase an ice cream van by swinging on tree branches in what can very loosely be called platforming and very accurately be called accidentally dropping a baby out of a tree to his death. I barely got past the first few trees as it's so finicky to get right, so I hope that when the little bastard eventually gets to the next ice cream van that it's actually selling chili. Red hot Texas style chili. Class picture sees Bart trying to lob tomatoes at his classmates and at least provides the closest alternative to being able to eat up Martha, crossed out, beat up Martin. That's a really bad joke for audio. I actually did the best at this one, despite it being almost impossible to accurately calculate how far Bart's going to throw his tomatoes. Even when it looks like you've stopped the power meter right on the intended target, it'll go flying past them. Making a minigame that requires gauging of depth on a 2D plane? Oh, you better believe that's a paddling. Mount Splashmore has a pretty funky visual effect that gives the impression of hurtling down a water slide as you try to avoid a variety of Springfieldians and Homer's hairy yellow lodged butt. You're frequently given a choice of left or right tunnels on your way to the bottom, but there will be a direction that ends in unavoidably flying out of the slide with no conceivable way to have predicted if you were going to get plummeted to your death or not. Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder. It's just 5 out of 6 bad minigames. It's still good. It's still good. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Doomsday Bart is a Road Rash ripoff without any of that game's already limited fun. The scrolling pseudo 3D background is relatively impressive, but there are so many obstacles on the track that they become impossible to avoid, which is coincidentally what I wish I did with this video game. I wanted to try and get good at this one. I really did. I tried my best and I failed miserably. The lesson is never try. Well, it seems a bad Simpsons game has been made by the very people who make bad Simpsons games. How ironic. I don't apologize for hating this game. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. Despite the arcade game being an absolute classic, I don't believe there are any good Simpsons games on console. Am I so out of touch? No, it's the games that are wrong. Man, that's good. That is some good ass reading. Holy shit.
He's done it.
I never will top that for as long as I live. So that's, no, there are no good Simpsons games other than the arcade game, which did briefly come out on the like 360 and PS3, but then they fucking took it away.
Was there ever a kart racer? That feels like a game that would get a kart racer. I mean, an IP that would get a kart racer.
I guess it could well have done something like that, right? But they basically did the racing stuff with these two, this one and Road Rage. I think Road Rage is supposed to be all right. But if you copy a good game like Crazy Taxi, then it probably will make a good game. Other than that, though, I can't even remember what other ones there are. I remember this one called like Bart versus the World, which is fucking horrible. It's just like more mini games again.
I think there's several mobile games because I remember Tapped Googling Out this before and it's like, oh god.
Yeah, no, there's nothing good. Nothing good. This is by far the best, and this is like a pure 7 out of 10 for me. Maybe a 6.5 or a 6.
What have we got coming up next, Alex? We're about to enter another themed period.
We are.
Say what it is you. It's getting into spooky season. We're almost in October, so it's got, which is quite funny, given that Summer of Resi is the summer series, and then when we actually get to the horror season, we're just like, nah, no Resi for us.
Yeah. Which we discussed. Avid listeners of the show will know that we've talked about Parasite Eve 2 being on the docket for Spooktoberfest this year. It's not anymore.
Fell off today, in fact.
I had some second thoughts about that and decided that apparently because it's a bad Resident Evil clone and not as good as the first Parasite Eve, that even though I may still enjoy it, we've done enough Resi-style tanky shit for 1 year, which we're probably going to say every year because we do Resident Evil every summer, but whatever.
Yeah.
So next up, for the first part of Spooktoberfest, which we're hoping to have 4 parts this year and maybe even 5 if we do a draft, is Layers of Fear.
Oh, yeah. I am actually really looking forward to this one. I was looking at gameplay today and I am in it's I it looks really like it might be fun, and also it's just sort of feels fresh. It feels like something we've not played. Probably it looks like it's maybe got Alien Isolation slight vibes to it. It looks more like that kind of horror.
It's mostly like puzzled, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not, you know, it's just I saw a lot of hiding from things.
Oh really?
But this is Bloober Team, the people that made the first ever game that we covered on a Winner's U, wasn't it?
Was it? I thought the first was the first not Bioshock?
Was it Bioshock the first one? Maybe it was the second one then.
But they did make
first
the
new
medium,
game we did.
Which we fucking hate.
But I think is this not the series that people got really excited about Bloober Team about?
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, they're doing the new Silent Hill, right?
Which or is what people
they're
said
doing
they
the Silent Hill 2 thing.
Yeah, which is what people said they should have done in the first place. But then after the media, people went a bit cold. They're like, maybe not.
These guys kind of suck a little bit. We'll find out. Okay. So apparently the definitive version is on the Switch.
For Layers of Fear?
Yeah, definitive port for the Nintendo Switch entitled Layers of Fear Legacy was released on 21st February 2018, and it features, in addition to the Inheritance DLC, Joy-Con touchscreen and HD rumble support.
Hmm.
Fuck. Good job, it's payday soon.
Yep.
Maybe I'll do it on the old Switcheroo then.
Yeah, that's maybe a show.
Sit in the bed next to Rach and shit my pants with the lights down.
Well, it's nearly payday, so I think I was saying I would like to get away from this desk for a while, so I might get it on Xbox and then play it downstairs, or I might just move my PC downstairs and play it on Steam, because it's already in there.
Yeah, you've already got it.
Yeah.
Don't forget to save your money for the Glasgow thing as well.
I've got a pot in my Monzo account for that. You put money away for it.
So I've been selling video games to put into my pot for it. on eBay. What am I up to now? Let's see what I've got up to from selling games. £260.
How do you get your picture on the Facebook for, is it Sore Thumb? You know how they do
Big I don't Hitter know, because I spent a lot of money in there before, and I'm kind of annoyed they never gave us that belt.
Yeah. I wondered if it was like 100 quid in one go. I'm not sure we did that. We did like over 100 quid in like three stints.
Yeah. I sold Mario Superstar Baseball on the GameCube for £125 the other day.
Oh my God. Amazing.
These people not realize there's a Dolphin emulator. Like, I've told my, I think I said this to you. I think it was, I said this to you, where I've like decided, no, I said it to Ash, that my retro game collecting now has to come down to things that like, I will still need to own to play, aka a DS or 3DS game, or something that's not that great to emulate, like original Xbox, which is why I'm doing that, or things for sentimental value, so N64 carts or Resident Evil games that I've started collecting. So I said to him, like, it's really funny that after I figured this out after I did that Game Eye setting up on my collection on Game Eye, I realized I had like 600 games at a value of well over £10,000, and was like, Jesus, what have I done to myself? And then I said to him, it's like really funny that that didn't make me be like, I need to stop collecting games. It's like, no, I need to focus my collecting in a more viable way. So now I'm selling games to then go buy more games that I may actually play, rather than games on the GameCube that I can just play on Dolphin. So whoever it was who bought Mario Superstar Baseball for me for £125, cheers, but you're a mug.
Thank you, Mr. Mario Superstars Baseball Man.
Yeah. So yeah, that's up next. Spooktoberfest. Layers of Fear. We've got some other horror games coming up as well after that. And potentially a horror video game draft in the style of the sports game draft, which I won just about, I think.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I won the Twitter poll, and you may have won the Instagram poll, but by less.
Okay.
I think. Well, that was 50-50. So I got... oh, yeah, that's the one that Annie, David's girlfriend, voted for me.
She did me. I think she'd be struggling to even tell me what those games are.
I wonder if there was a reason why she did that. Is there anything on there that you think she saw? She was like, fucking Windjammers, this guy wins big time.
No.
I know. It wouldn't actually have been Windjammers. Obviously, that was a definitely
I'm
not.
To think of the, yeah, I'm just trying to think of the games that she maybe would have seen. Let me have a quick look.
So yeah, I had 64% of the votes on Twitter. I mean, it was 50-50 on Instagram. So yeah, I just about won that effectively.
She would have played probably. She would have encountered games from her brother. I can't imagine any of those would have been them. I'm happy to die on my sword for that, because I think I was looking at your list and my list, and I think the only one. I mean, I think, what does that say? Made up sport, I could go either way on. I could probably go either way on motorsport selection. I think like yours is the correct answer for arcade sports. But I think the only one I'm looking at, I'm like, yeah, right, really, like in hindsight, think I missed a trick on was the extreme sports one. I think probably Tony Hawk's 2 is better than Tony Hawk Underground.
Well, at least more revered.
Yeah, but yeah, that's when I'm happy to die on my sword, because that I like my collection of games. Yeah,
I think both lists were really good. I think neither of us picked anything close to a bad game. Every game on there, the closest to a bad game on there is probably track and field.
Probably
Wayne Gretzky, if people don't like it.
Yeah,
compared to an NHL proper NHL game. And I don't know. I really don't know what that track and field on N64 is like, how it's thought of, I guess, in terms of like versus.
Yeah,
the
probably not great. But yeah, that would be the one I played, so that's the one I picked.
Yeah, but we're probably going to try and do a horror one of that as well. So that should be quite fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, and I suppose that brings us to the end of another episode of the Winners You podcast. If you liked what you heard, and even if you didn't, why not give our numbers a bump by subscribing to our podcast on your podcast feed of choice? Or if you prefer to imbibe your podcast in a visual format, you can head over to YouTube and search A Winner Is You podcast, where you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. If the podcast isn't enough for your, well, bi-weekly to weekly dose of A Winner Is You chattery, you can also follow us on the website formerly known as Twitter @WinnerIsYouPod, and even send us an email to tell us how wrong we are about our gaming opinions by writing to awinnersyoupod@gmail.com. Alex and I also have not Twitter. I'm at @DavidSmiley1. He is SuperThrillix, respectively. And I've also marked here, because I keep forgetting that we also now have TikTok. So head over there. I don't know, is TikTok a website? Is it an app? I don't really understand it. Search for AwinnersYouPod and we will pop up. Alex, have you got any housekeeping? Or is it time to get out of here? What's your most recent or upcoming Video Game Hall of Fame topic?
The one that we just did was the management sim, okay, which was won by Steve again. He's far and away the winningest, as Americans would say.
He knows how to pick.
I think he probably should have expected to win with Theme Park. I think if you're going for a broad audience.
Yeah.
Whereas Rob's being made to pick a specific Football Manager game rather than having the series kind of screwed him there.
Yeah, probably.
And the next topic we're going to be recording, I think on Thursday this week, is games we did a 180 on.
As in didn't like, then liked, or liked, then didn't like.
Well, it'd be kind of weird to do it the second way around, which I said to myself as well, like, listeners could write in about that, but if you got a game that you liked and then didn't like, then why would it go in the Hall of Fame? But it's
my biggest 180 is probably Mass Effect. I hated that when I first played it. Despised it.
Mine is Bloodborne. I traded it in and bought it again after I watched Game Grumps play Dark Souls 3.
That's a good shout. I did that with Oblivion. Played that, thought, I don't know what the hell I meant to be doing here, and then traded it in and then thought, oh no, I get it. And I went and bought it again.
I would have done that with Bioshock if I didn't have a Steelbook edition that, for some reason, the person in-game in Aberdeen told me didn't have the right age certificate on it, so they wouldn't take it. Even though it says it's got PEGI 18 on the front, but they said it had to have BBFC, so they refused to take it. So I was like, fine, fuck it. I guess I'll play Bioshock, and then loved it. Like, absolutely loved it. But I don't love it as much as Bloodborne, which I there's a podcast somewhere of me saying to you something like, Bloodborne's just a fucking bad game. It's got bad controls, bad mechanics. It's unfair. It's bullshit. I fucking hate it. There'll be a podcast somewhere I have on my laptop.
Do you know what?
Of me saying that.
Obviously, our opinion's changed on that now, but I defend our opinion on that because I think the people of that, they're less so now because there's so many of them, but the people of that era that were like massive into Souls games were the most annoying, smell their own farts, hipster assholes that I can remember encountering in video games. I remember listening to a podcast, it was an IGN UK one, and Keza McDonald said something like, real gamers, like only people that are like real proper gamers like the Souls games. And I was like, how insulting and like look down your nose, I'm better than you comment is that? And it just put me right off the series because of the fan base.
She wrote a book about that. I will defend us. And it is so self-congratulatory at the beginning of like how she was one of the first people to play Demon's Souls in this country and review it. And she was talking to other people from America about how to do this part and how to do that part. And she was a big pioneer of why it's big in this country. It's like, oh my God. Maybe that's true. I don't know. Maybe we're just jealous.
Maybe
of
it is.
I don't know.
No, maybe that's true. It's not jealousy. I maintain that the sort of rhetoric of people that sort of were in on the ground floor of those games was so off-putting.
Yeah, the get good stuff, which we laugh about now, but that was dickish at the time. So
that is not how you ingratiate people to liking what you're doing.
Yeah. So Bloodborne will be my pick.
Oh, you may well win that one.
I'm the worst in terms of wins. I've got 3, I think. And Steve's got like 6-5-4 and then me, I think. Or maybe even 7-5-4. I don't know. I'm getting my ass handed to me. It's not good. I've had fucking Zelda games not win and everything. Just bullshit.
You just got to pick. Do what I did in the, like, pick the list you want to live. Pick the game you want to live. And
it's true.
Then you don't care. Like, I'm looking at like that one we just did. I'm looking at that list. That was a good list. I don't mind losing it.
That was a great list. Because like, let's quickly look at what's lost for me, right? Mario World didn't get in.
Right.
Pac-Man.
One of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
Classic.
I mean, God Hand, yeah, that was a bit of a hipster choice. Chrono Trigger didn't get in. Lost to Shenmue, for fuck's sake. Donkey Konga, yeah, fair enough. I that's my own fault. Outrun 2 didn't get in. Hades didn't get in. Advance Wars, Wind Waker, Elden Ring, Monkey Ball, all of those games did not get in the Hall of Fame when I brought them up.
Yeah, that's a fine set of games.
Yeah, and the ones that I have
Super
got
Mario
in...
Mario World.
Yeah, that lost to Sonic 2. I mean, that was our first episode and we were coming out of being a Sega podcast.
Right, okay.
So I guess,
yeah, okay.
You know, you reap what you sow in that regard. But the ones I
have
got in...
You know
who
your fan base is.
Yeah, I got Mario 3 in. I've got Bayonetta. That's it. The third one is one that we, when we did our episode where we all just made one go in without a vote because we were fucking sick of it getting hijacked by people who love Beat Saber or Fantasy
Oh yeah, you
World
went through
Dizzy.
A good run of getting, end, like, sort of stumbling into Reddit groups that were just hijacking your...
Yeah, people just hijacked the polls. And I mean, the Dizzy one was cool because the Oliver twins who created Dizzy actually retweeted it and got loads of their... followers to vote for it, which
that's cool.
Fair enough. But the Beat Saber one was fucking sickening. That was just really weird. Beat Saber ambassadors like voting it in. It was
Beat
bad.
Saber
that's genuinely it's what people have as their thing on their Twitter bio is I'm a Beat Saber ambassador. What does that even mean? Well, you must have some housekeeping. You got some housekeeping of any kind?
Oh well, I guess I've got my ongoing newsletter. If you head over to Substack, you can pop in your email address and get a nice weekly news roundup on a Friday into your inbox. That's it, I guess. And on that bombshell, I've been David. He has been Alex. We have been a winner's you, and I'm out.
What an ending. I didn't shit myself, though.
You held it.
It's
you
an
held
ending.
It.
That's enough. I was trying to set up that quote, and I really fucked it.